It is my pleasure to welcome in, though, for this first segment at minimum, State Senator Tim Neville. He is one of the sponsors of Senate Bill 220, which basically deals with sanctuary cities. And State Senator Tim Neville on the phone with us, a Republican from Littleton. Appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Doing well, thank you. Let's talk about, if you can, the genesis of SB 220.
Sure. Well, basically, we have a problem with sanctuary city policies, and we've really seen this driven home in Denver. I think most of the people in the area are very concerned regarding some of the challenges that we've had within the judicial system and the release of illegal alien criminals back into the community without with the city of Denver and other municipalities that have not honored ICE detainers in the past. And additionally, we've had onto that the passage of certain statutes by the Denver City Council that actually go after the municipal employees in the city of Denver, threatening them with fines or even possible loss of their job if they actually even communicate with our Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yeah, it is, to me, mind-boggling, and I've been a newsman in this town a long time, but it's nice to be able to give my opinion. So forgive me if throughout I might be going, I agree with you, yes. This is such, Senator Tim Neville again joining us, this is such an emotional issue. How do you work around that to just go, hey, folks, listen, this is the law, they're here illegally?
Well, that is basically the issue, Stephen, but also our responsibility of government is to provide for protection of individual rights and then life, liberty, and property. And within that, the equal application of law is extremely important. We understand there should be due process and all of those things, but to say that you're just going to basically decide which laws you're going to enforce and which ones you're not, that's not a proper role of government. That's not good governance, and that's not protecting the safety of those individuals within those cities.
I want to get with you as to what happened most recently at the state Senate, but are you able to go back? When did this happen? We'll just focus on Denver, Colorado, and surrounding cities. When did this start?
Well, it's been starting for quite a while, I think. It's been in the last few years. It's kind of interesting. I went back and I found, I think, a statute in 2007 that Democrats and Republicans agreed that we have a problem with illegal immigration, and also with the idea it was a resolution calling for the federal government to step forward and actually be more responsible in its enforcement. And we've gone a long way from that to a point where now we have certain entities and certain political entities that are saying, we don't want enforcement. We want sanctuary cities. So we really slipped backwards in that area. And we've also seen, an increase in certain crimes and an increase in certain things in the communities. And the bottom line is, if you don't enforce the law, don't expect a safer society.
Right. State Senator Tim Neville from Littleton joining us. He's a Republican. I want to go back in a little bit of the research, Tim, that I did. I found a quote from you, and I want to just read it. Quote, sure. We're not worried about the family that came to the United States for a better life. We're worried about those that are in constant violation of our laws and are a burden to our society. I think one of the things that's so amazing, even if you look at most recently, the fatal hit and run on I-70 at Brighton Boulevard, these people don't even go through what a quote-unquote legal citizen would go through. This guy was considered an immigration fugitive by ICE. He ended up coming back and turning himself in, and I think he's got he's either still in court or in the judicial process, but he was in jail for a case where he was the responsible party in a fatal hit and run. And he was in custody 11 hours. It boggles the mind.
Correct. I mean, the bond was set extremely low. And, of course, he was released without notifying Immigration and Customs. And, of course, they were very interested in this individual. And this isn't the first time. We had a gentleman that was released several years ago. And I think it was about a year and a half ago. And you know, about, I think, a week and a half later, after Immigration and Customs was still looking for him, I believe he was released at, I don't remember exactly the numbers or the day. There was a, it was on a Sunday evening at about 11:37. They sent a fax to the ICE office, 11:37 p.m. ICE came in that next morning to pick this individual up. And they were not in that, of course he'd already been released a half an hour later. And, then this gentleman, actually committed a murder in Denver and, you know, a gentleman was, killed and his family was deprived of, you know, of the parent and the breadwinner. And this is a huge problem.
Yeah. We're talking with State Senator Tim Neville, Republican from Littleton. Where are we with SB 220 right now?
Well, we passed SB 220 today on third reading, so it is going over to the House. It is a referred measure. It would go to the ballot if it passes the House and the Senate and is signed by the governor. Of course, it passed the Senate. It was on a straight party line vote, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't know how it's going to go in the House. People, you know, tell me that it may not have a prayer in the House, but, you know, we don't run bills based upon the knowledge that we know what they're going to pass. We run bills because they're important to the state of Colorado and to Colorado's residents. And then at that point, we do, you know, understand that, individuals are going to be, having a ballot measure, prepared, to go on the ballot in November, if this bill does not make it out of the House. So there's definitely a backup plan in place, and I think a number of proponents that understand the importance of this issue are focused and committed to making sure it is on the ballot one way or the other in November.
How would that read in summary?
Well, there are a couple of different titles that are being worked through with the title board, but in the basics of it, it prohibits or restricts any jurisdiction, official or employee from it would specify that the state and any political subdivision of the state shall not prohibit or restrict a jurisdiction, an official of the jurisdiction or an employee from sending to or receiving from federal immigration agencies information regarding citizenship or immigration status of the individual, which is what the Denver statutes actually do right now. It prohibits, it would eliminate the ability of those jurisdictions to prohibit people from doing any of the following with respect, a couple of things. Sending the information to, these are some of the things that Denver actually restricts and other sanctuary city communities. Sending information to or requesting information from federal agencies, maintaining any of the information, exchanging the information with federal immigration authorities or other political subdivisions of the state. It would also eliminate the ability of those jurisdictions to encourage the physical harboring of illegal immigrants. And so those are the basics of the bill.
State Senator Tim Neville with us here on 710 KNUS, 12 minutes after 5 o'clock. Want to know if it's frustrating to you, assuming, and I'll say that I'm assuming that it's not going to pass in the House. I know you don't write bills. You just said very eloquently, you don't do this to then wonder what's going to happen tomorrow, so to speak. But it's got to be frustrating because there are so many people that feel like you do and feel like I do that are listening to you right now. But then they're also realists going, well, look at how many Democrats are over there on the other side.
Well, that's why I think it's important that we do get it out to the ballot, onto the ballot. If we do get it out onto the ballot, I think that the people of Colorado will overwhelmingly step forward and let their elected officials know exactly what they want on this. And that's the importance of getting it out to the people.
Right. When you look at the problem, and then I'm sure in some of your research and the people on your staff, I can only imagine what you've heard and learned and can maybe share a story or two anecdotally about talking with law enforcement. You want to talk about a frustrated position to be in. I can't imagine that, trying to enforce what they're sworn to do, and yet they're hogtied in a sense.
Well, you bet. I mean, when it becomes catch and release out there and they have no ability to basically interact, or they're concerned about possibly losing their job or being even fined by their city government. You can imagine what that does to people. I mean, it's totally demoralizing. A number of the folks at Denver in the Denver Police Department have actually even testified in front of the federal side on this frustration. And it appears that many of the individuals involved in this, for political reasons or for whatever, have staked themselves onto this hill and said that whatever they're not as concerned about their employees and protecting their citizens and their constituents that are here with lawful intent. Versus some of the people, and we're not talking, the frustrating thing, Stefan, is we're talking about many times most of these people are hardened criminals that should be removed. And, of course, the other thing that's frustrating that I find frustrating is the cost that the city or that the state of Colorado bears, even within the correction system. We hear about a lot of money that we miss for other needs, whether it be roads and bridges or education or whatever else. This not obeying the law and not actually allowing that conversation with federal authorities is very, very costly to the state of Colorado and its taxpayers.
A Republican from Littleton, State Senator Tim Neville, sponsor of Senate Bill 220, which did pass today along a party line vote, goes over to the House of Representatives now. You can follow him on Twitter, @Neville4CO, @Neville4CO. And if you follow us on Twitter, you can find that address in our tweets from this afternoon. I hate to do this to you, but would you be able to stick for another segment? I got a few more questions and we got to hit a break. Is that possible?
I'd be glad to.
Okay, that'd be great. State Senator Tim Neville here on 710 KNUS. Your phone line is open, by the way, if you want to jump on board and just kind of get in the queue, so to speak, and give us your take on SB 220. I also want to ask Tim Neville when we come back if he's been labeled at all or slightly labeled. You're just another Republican racist. I'm Stephen Tubbs. This is 710 KNUS, 303-696-1971. We resume our conversation with State Senator Tim Neville, who again just told us before the break that the Senate Bill 220 dealing with sanctuary cities, trying to do something about this, passed today in the Senate, and now it goes over to it was on a party line vote, goes over to the House. If it passes, crossing fingers, somehow in the House, it would be signed by the governor, or would it? State Senator Tim Neville continues our conversation. Do you think Hickenlooper would sign this if it did pass?
Well, Stefan, I don't know. Until we get it on his desk, I don't know. My job is to move it forward, and like anything else, it's going to be up to the governor. I would love to see that opportunity to have him answer that.
Yeah, I could assume what his answer would be, but we shall see. I want to know, there's something that I call on this program, and this is only my eighth week of doing it here at this station, and I call it the SGNR, what the left does to those of us that, for example, would want Senate Bill 220 to pass. It's the SGNR, the shame, the guilt, and in a situation like this, the R stands for racist. I'm wondering, have you felt any of that pressure or received tweets or Facebook messages or emails, voicemails, that you're just nothing more than a racist, Tim Neville?
Of course. And, you know, you understand pretty quickly once you're in politics and you're talking about policy, that's the refuge of those who really don't have either a grasp of the issue or they have no real counter to your argument about why this is public safety and enforcing the law is a good thing and obeying the Constitution of the United States and actually cooperating is a positive thing for all your constituents. So yes, I've had that and Facebook, whether it be other things, but I tend to take on some strong stances on different issues, so it's not unusual in politics.
What do you hear from your fellow Republicans about this, and how did your name get attached? Why are you behind this?
Why I'm carrying it, I carried a similar bill last year, and of course it's something that I feel very strongly about, and we did have of course we had United Republican support. We had, 16 out of the 18 Republicans in the Colorado Senate were on the bill. So I think that's where you see, you know, the party is very focused on this. We understand the importance of this. And, you know, one of the things that we hear, too, you know, you mentioned there are a number of things. I think racist is usually the one that's kind of the final counter. But when you stand up to those things, one of the ones I heard today, or actually yesterday on second reading, was that this bill is just, you know, it's not the Colorado way.
It's not the Colorado way currently.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. But it's but the thing that was thrown at me, it was sort of what I call the subtle race card. It was that maybe, you know, you people are scared of other people that maybe you don't know. And I did, you know, have some conversation about that at the well. Is, you know, I'm not scared of other people. I'm not scared of people that are either immigrants or whatever else. That doesn't scare me. What scares me, the only thing that scares me, is when we have a society that actually breaks down and doesn't hold its elected officials accountable to enforcing the law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's how you counter that. It's, this is about accountability. You know, we expect criminals to act like criminals, but we should expect our elected officials to act like elected officials and swear to the enforcement mechanisms that are in front of them and obey their constitutional responsibilities.
Yeah, and you know what I would add to that is if you're a critic of a Tim Neville or a Stephen Tubbs or whomever, why do you have to go to the easiest, which is, oh, you're racist? You're racist.
It's, yeah. Well, like I said, it's usually a matter of you don't have any other facts or information. And, you know, how can you attack, you know, a system that, first of all, an immigration system that allows over approximately 1.4 to 1.5 legal immigrants to come into our country every year? What other country has that type of heart and welcoming, you know, that allows that? Nobody. And then at that point, then you have all these other derivations of following the law. And when you ask people to follow the law, none of us would expect, this is not about race, first of all, this is about following the law and abiding by those laws. That's what it's about. And when you get to that point and you throw race out of there and you say, it doesn't matter what color or what country or whatever else, you should follow the law. And your elected officials are sworn to follow the law. Then it becomes something else, and actually there's very little that they have left to say.
I don't get it. I just fail to see. And then what I've heard from critics just to me in having this position, and I'm sure you have as well, is, well, they're not all that way. Mm-hmm. But you know, you said you're not scared of people. I'll tell you who I'm deathly afraid that my 17, soon to be 18-year-old son is driving in a car around our state, around this metro area, and the likes of the guy that did the fatal I-70 Brighton mm-hmm. Boulevard crash could run into him. That's what I'm concerned about. And they have no... Again, we're talking about folks with State Senator Tim Neville. You and I, to my knowledge, have never met in person, but I'm lockstep with you on what I'm reading and what I'm hearing, because... As you stated, we're not worried about the family that came to the United States for a better life. Folks, we're talking about people that, number one, are here illegally, and number two, that are criminals. And it's so frustrating as a constituent, Tim, of somebody in this state, right? I'm voting for people that some people out there that are sworn by the Constitution of the state and the country, they're not upholding their job. And I know that's frustrating to you.
Well, it is. And, you know, you see these people at parties and get-togethers and, you know, bottom line, you know, people look at them and say, you're an elected official. What should that look like? We can have discrepancies or arguments regarding policy, but we should not have arguments regarding at least obeying and enforcing the law. That shouldn't be an argument.
Right. What do you say to people when you do hear that in so many words, when you hear, well, they're not all that way?
When it comes to when you say they're not all that way, I ask, who is the they they're talking about?
Right. Well,
who is the they they're talking about? Are these criminals that have been picked up off the street and they're in Denver jails that are then being released? and ICE has a detainer there, who's they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, I think everybody likes to lob people into various groups, and I think that's one of the challenges we have. This is not about all groups or whatever else. This is about individuals who actually have disobeyed our laws, and actually, and most of them are, you know, are felons or even convicted felons. And what do we do in those situations? And what do we hold our elected officials accountable to do? And it's real simple: enforce the law, and actually support the law enforcement that is constitutionally bound to oversee our immigration laws, the federal immigration authorities, to actually go out and make those arrests per se, but at least not pass laws and statutes that actually avoid the ability to actually even be able to cooperate in that case. That's the problem here, and that's what Senate Bill 220 and the referred measure is attempting to address.
Yeah, the question for our listeners would be: Do you want on November 6th to vote on a bill like this? State Senator Tim Neville is joining us. He's a Republican representing Littleton. Tim, I'm not sure if you saw the story that has come out, but in San Diego County, the Board of Supervisors voted earlier today to, in fact, file a court brief siding with the federal government in its lawsuit against California's so-called sanctuary state law. And in California, God knows what they're doing out there in my home state. Thank mm-hmm. God there are some elected officials apparently on the San Diego County Board of Supervisors that feel like something needs to be done. But then you look at even what the governor of California, he commits 400 National Guard troops to the border and then says, "Now, nah, you know what? No, because they're going to be asked. It's too closely linked to immigration enforcement." You just got to wonder. And do we want to go the way of California?
Well, I can answer that one very easily, Steph. And I've never run into anybody who will on either on camera or on tape say that they do want to go to the way of California. I think that's one everybody in Colorado takes a look at. And unfortunately, these policies take us close to that as they are. And we see that turmoil out there where counties are fighting to try to stay above water because the state government out there has done what some of our cities and counties have done here already. It's just totally disrespectful to the voters and to the people of Colorado or to even to California, and it's a recipe for disaster.
I fully agree. If people are just joining us, if you are just joining us midway through the 5 o'clock hour, wondering what these two white guys are commiserating about on the radio, here's what it is. State Senator Tim Neville is our guest. He's a Republican out of Littleton, and today at the Capitol in the Senate, SB, Senate Bill 220, passed a party line vote. It now goes on to the House. Now, Senate Bill 220 basically, and Tim, feel free to add after I'm finished, is it would basically place a prohibition against sanctuary city policies coming up on the November 6th ballot if you got your way. Feel free to add.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little more detail to it, but in a nutshell, that's exactly what it does.
Right. What are you hearing? So, you know, you represent the Littleton area, which is quite large when you consider Highlands Ranch is kind of considered my mailing address, for example, where I live is Littleton. What are you hearing from constituents that you directly represent?
Stephen, my area is pretty unique. It's an interesting area. I don't really represent Highlands Ranch. I don't represent the city of Littleton. Mm-hmm. I represent quite a bit of unincorporated Jefferson County, south and west, Golden. But I do have a section of southwest Denver. I have all of Gilpin County, and I even have a little portion of the southern end of Boulder County, including the township of Superior. But the one thing I hear from everybody is they expect the law to be enforced, and they're very concerned about public safety.
Right. Public safety. I just don't get it. You've been very kind with your time. Just a couple of minutes and then we'll release you like you were in custody and we'll catch and release was your term. You made it very clear. And I think I took a couple of notes and back to our law enforcers. You called it totally demoralizing. Have you heard or can you share anecdotally a specific story where I can just imagine if you're in law enforcement and you just, you don't even know what to do. You kind of throw your hands up. And I think that goes to your totally demoralizing quote.
Well, yeah, and I don't have the name. The gentleman that is in charge of the Police Protection Association in Denver showed his frustration and actually went and testified on the federal level. But I hear this from a number of law enforcement officers, on a regular basis. They have to be concerned. Of course, in Denver, they're very concerned because if they speak out, they could be threatened with the loss of their job.
Right.
And when you start thinking about those things, you know, what are we trying to do as a society? Why would we actually, put our law enforcement officers in harm's way or under threat? And this is these are other individuals in the city government in Denver right now. It's abhorrent.
It is. As we wrap up with you, I'm just wondering your take on how the president has handled this from the national level. What your feelings are, for example, about building a wall. The bottom line is from at least my perspective, which is a pretty small one, but I'm thinking, you know what? You do something to prevent or at least deter illegal aliens from coming up from Mexico, no matter what country they're from. We saw the Armada or whatever they were calling it a couple of weeks ago, the caravan. They're not just from Mexico. Predominantly they are, but something's got to be done because, look, you look at a place like Denver, we might as well just roll out the red carpet.
Well, there's a big sign in Denver that says immigrants welcome. And, you know, the question is, you know, if immigrants that come here for a better life and a better opportunity, that obey the laws and go through the steps and processes, they should be welcomed. That is the history of our country. We all have roots that go back to that. But those individuals that come and break our laws and are guilty of violations and felonies and those type of things, those people should not be receiving sanctuary in our cities. It creates a tremendous problem, and it also sends a message to the rest of the world that if you're a criminal, you're going to have a safe sanctuary in Colorado or in Denver or these other sanctuary cities, and that's not conducive to public safety.
Yeah, and I think maybe you're referring to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're talking about Nick Rogers, president of the Denver Police Protective Association.
That's correct, Nick Rogers.
Yeah, Nick
that
Rogers.
Is correct.
Final question. You brought it up, which I think is something that I have talked about in the past on this program, is you look at what's above the steps right now of the city and county building, which if you peered through maybe your office at the Capitol, if you got a decent window, you can see it's the huge sign, Denver Heart Immigrants. What does that say
right.
when you're trying to get SB 220 passed?
Well, there's not a problem with the sign. The problem is with the policy of the mayor and the city council and the sanctuary city policy. You know, we should welcome all people, particularly people that come here, whether they come here from another country, if they do it legally, whether they come here from another state. We should be welcoming of those people that want to add to our society,
right?
and want to work.
Yeah. And the catchphrase or the catchword is legally.
You bet.
I really appreciate your time, Tim, and hope to have you on the program again. I will say this because I can now. I am a newsman, but I wish you the best of luck as your colleagues over in the House. Hopefully we'll do the right thing.
Stephen, thank you very much.
Sure appreciate it. State Senator Tim Neville.